Hello, and welcome into another episode of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our Week 10 recap and our Week 11 preview. Definitely came back down to earth, unfortunately, this past week. Wasn't our worst week of the year, though, so still positive on the year overall. Hopefully, we're going to be able to end the year strong. Cody, how are you doing on this fine Wednesday evening?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a rough year for sure. I mean, 23-27, hitting at 46%. Feel like the most average bettor in America. It's either 3-2 or 2-3. It feels like just about every week, with a couple of good, couple of bad weeks mixed in there. So definitely a little bit beat up, trying to bounce back. But honestly, this week kind of sucked. I felt really good about all five of my picks, and to end up 2-3 is very disappointing. So another rough one. But like Nick said, yeah, try to turn it around, try and learn from our mistakes, and you know, keep the train rolling. Keep trying to get, you know, try and get myself personally positive, but also help the podcast stay positive and hopefully get in the green when you factor in the VIG and everything like that.
Yeah, we're probably about maybe a unit down if you include the VIG, 51-49 overall.
Yep.
In a tough year for sharp bettors, you know, that's not the worst. I think at the end of the day, you know, you want to be in the green, obviously, but as long as we aren't super far into the red, I'm not going to be, you know, too upset about it. And I think we have a lot of time to turn this around. Right now, we're basically even at this point. If we can finish strong like we have our first 2 years, we will be just fine.
Absolutely.
And I think we're in a position to do that. But let's run through the Week 10 games real quick. We'll start with I was 1-4 this week, so I was dragging us down. First winner, we shared this one, New Orleans +3.5. Classic dead cat bounce spot. New Orleans looked a lot better on offense. Carr hit a couple deep shots to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who apparently plays for the Saints now. And I could say that some ways we got a little lucky. Younghoe Koo missed 3 field goals for us, but Alvin Kamara also dropped a perfect pass that would have been a 55-yard touchdown late in the game. So at the end of the day, I think we deserve this cover. New Orleans won outright, so we didn't even need the 3.5. And, you know, they were leading in this game basically the whole way.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I actually did not have this one with you.
We shared
Indy and San Fran. Yeah. I love this one. This was one of my personal bets as well. So yeah, it was a great game for both of us, I'm sure, from a betting slip perspective. But yeah, I realized we had 2 of them already overlapping, and I liked Indy and San Fran just a little bit more. I was a little nervous with New Orleans, so ended up taking them out and putting in my, what ended up being a loser. So bad move by my part, but is what it is. I'll go ahead and knock out my first win here. Broncos +7.5 at the Chiefs. Almost wish that I didn't make this bet, so that way I didn't have to talk about it today, but here we are. Yeah, really just let down spot for the Chiefs. They have the Bills this upcoming week and, you know, one of the biggest games, you know, of the year, if you want to put it that way. So a little bit of a, you know, let down spot. Offense really didn't move the ball. The Broncos played really well and, you know, had the chance to win it at the end. So I feel like it was a good read. Again, I felt pretty good about all my picks going into this week, and this one just seemed like a pretty good play. So Broncos +7.5, easy cover. Gotta love it.
Yeah, all the way. Obviously, Broncos took the lead off the start, and the Chiefs were only ever winning right at the end by 2, so they were never even in territory to cover this number. Really, the only worry you had was a Bo Nix pick 6 on that last drive.
For sure.
But he looked pretty composed the whole day. I don't think there was really much worry there. Great read.
Yeah, Bo Nix looks really good.
He did. He looked, I was very, very impressed with him in that last drive. You know, obviously, you know, got to block up the field goal, 35 yarder. It's basically an extra point, embarrassing to not win that game as a Broncos fan. But, at the end of the day, yeah, pretty impressed with Bo Nix, and the Broncos deserved to win that game. So +7.5 was a very, very easy call.
Absolutely.
First game that we shared, Indy +4.5. This one, I don't have too many regrets about. Not a terrible read. The pick 6 to begin the game by Joe Flacco basically ended up being the difference here. Beyond that, it was a pretty even game. 415 total yards for the Bills, 361 for the Colts, 21 first downs for the Bills, 19 for the Colts. So you could probably say pretty much across the board, the Bills just slightly outplayed the Colts besides the turnovers. The Colts ended with 4, the Bills with 2, and one of those 4 for the Colts went back the other way for a pick 6. So You know, Joe Flacco definitely did not look as good as I thought he would. He actually moved the ball somewhat effectively, but the turnovers killed us. And yeah, at the end of the day, it was a 4.5 point line. They won by 10, and a pick six is, you know, a 7 point swing there. So that was the difference. If they played this game tomorrow and gave us 5 points on Indy again, I would probably take it, especially at home is what it is. You know, you're going to walk into this when, you have the worst quarterback sometimes, but, I don't hate the read at all here. I think it was probably the right side from a betting perspective.
Yeah, no, it definitely was the right side. And not only the pick six to start, but then an interception on the drive right after that led to a field goal. So you're basically in a 10-0 hole to start the game after their defense had a 3-and-out on the Bills' first possession. So, yeah, just they got down. They were playing catch-up the entire day, and the Bills just kind of outlasted them and were able to, you know, maintain their 10-point lead. But like you said, if they replayed this game, we would take the same line. It was a good read, just unfortunate that, you know, the turnover difference did not go in our favor. Josh Allen, 2 picks. So the Colts had their chances as well, but they just could not get the scores that we needed. And like you said, the pick six followed up by the field goal. You start down 10-0. You're basically just hoping that they can catch up throughout. So not a bad read, just unfortunate with the turnovers.
Yeah, got to live with it when you're betting Joe Flacco. I'd like to say the pick six is bad luck, but, you know, turnovers, that's kind of what he does when he plays badly. So you're going to have these days when you're betting these quarterbacks. The next one that we shared, did you have San Francisco 6.5 too?
I did. Yep.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. This was the one that was a horrible beat for us. This one was disgusting. Really pissed me off. San Francisco absolutely dominated this game. 100% deserved to cover. This was the one that really made my blood boil for sure. San Francisco by 6.5, they end up winning 23-20. 3 missed field goals by Jake Moody. I mean, that really says basically all of it right there. Even if we get 2 of those 3 missed field goals, you know, we're going to win this by 9. But at the thing that really lost this game for us was the muffed punt on yep. The first drive of the second half. We were up 10-3. The Buccaneers did nothing, went 3-and-out, punted it. And then I can't hear the TV audio when I'm watching where I watch because I watch all the games at once. And obviously, there's only audio for one game, and this wasn't the one I was listening to. But I don't understand how it was not a penalty. The Tampa Bay player shoved the San Francisco player into Deebo Samuel, and he muffed the punt because of it. I don't know what the rule is on that, honestly. So, I mean, maybe that is allowed in certain circumstances, but that was why they muffed it. It looked like a penalty to me. It wasn't called, and Tampa Bay scored a touchdown because they got the ball on the, you know, 15-yard line, whatever it was, very close in. And that was a 7-point swing right there. And when you have a 6.5-point favorite, you know, that's a hard hole to climb out of. I think at the end of the day, the one end of the cap that I was not happy with was the San Francisco red zone struggles continued. I thought CMC would help them start finishing some drives. They really couldn't. They relied on their field goal kicker, and he did not come through for them. Did end up winning them the game at the end, but he went 3-for-6 on the day. And like I said, ended up kind of selling our cover here. Between that and the muffed punt, you know, that's basically 16 points right there. You're not going to cover a 6.5-point line with that.
Yep. You basically just said everything that I was going to say about the game anyway. So I'll just jump into my 4th pick here. So that way I don't reiterate basically everything you just said. Steelers plus 2.5 at the Commanders. Steelers ended up excellent pulling this pick. One out. Yeah, man, it was definitely a sweat. It was a really good game in general. Honestly, kind of kept going back and forth on whether or not I thought I was going to get the cover. We had the Russell Wilson interception near the end of the third quarter. Also, George Pickens, probably the funniest reaction to an interception ever. So God, that was all. That's awesome. Yep. And then the goal line fumble towards the beginning of the fourth quarter. So it felt like we were dead, but you know, this is a spot where you just back Mike Tomlin, 26-5 now straight up against rookie quarterbacks. Obviously the legend of Mike Tomlin as an underdog continues to grow. So this is just one of those plays where, you know, it hits 60% of the time. You got to play it as often as the sports books allow you. So that way you get the true value on it. And that's why I landed on it. Didn't feel too great, you know, about midway through that fourth quarter, but ended up pulling it out and securing the win. So yeah, it was good. Unfortunately, Jaden Daniels, terrible game fantasy wise, completely screwed me. Didn't play horrible, but just did not have a good game and did not come through when I needed him for a fantasy perspective.
Not, not his best game, but from a fantasy perspective, it was just that they ran the ball in three times instead of throwing two of those in, and he would have been just fine. But yeah, he definitely struggled. Statistically, you deserve to win this game as well. 312 total yards for the Steelers, 242 for the Commanders, 21 first downs to 19, 36 minutes of time of possession to 23:49. So yeah, the Steelers deserve to not only cover the spread, but win the game. So +2.5, certainly the right side to be on. Really good call there. I am very upset with myself. I didn't have either the Steelers or the Broncos in my five. Those two bets were easy, easy cashes at the end of the day, even though the Steelers, like you said, it went back and forth, but you deserved it all the way through.
For sure.
Yeah, that fumble on the one, I thought that was going to lose. Nah, that sucked. That was devastating. But they came through anyway. My next one, Jets -1.5. Absolutely horrible read. Probably my worst read of the year, to be honest. I followed some sharps. I had, personally, a Jets +1.5 ticket, and I really liked the CLV I got at the end of the day, so I wanted to include it. But they got their asses kicked from the jump. Absolutely didn't stand a chance in this game for 1 second. Just an awful, awful read on my part. I really can't say anything other than that. I found this really interesting stat. So the Cardinals had the chains set 28 times, which just means that they were given first and 10 28 times throughout the game. They converted a first down on 27 of those 28 attempts.
Jesus.
The only time they did not convert that first down was in the fourth quarter when they were up 31-6, and they punted on a 4th-and-3. So every other time they scored a touchdown or kicked a field goal on 1st-and-10 with 3 seconds left in the half. It was utter domination from the Cardinals. No other way to put it. Terrible read. My bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you. The Jets, I mean, Cardinals are obviously kind of in a battle for the division, but that kind of team, you just expect to drop one here or there. And the Jets were a must win basically in every game.
Such a hard team to figure out.
A complete disappointment from the Jets. I mean, that game is probably going to be, the game that defined their season. And that's just just terrible. Like, I don't know where they go from here, but they're screwed. That bad coaching, bad leadership. It's just terrible.
Yeah. One thing I think I've overlooked here. I remember mentioning in the preview that the Jets defense actually went into this game number one in the NFL at yards per play on the season, which was surprising because they hadn't played that well the few weeks before that. So the perception of the defense wasn't that. But if you look at their defense since Saleh has been fired, they are bottom five in EPA per play, bottom five in success rate. His absence has really made a big difference. Whether it's just a coincidence because they've had some injuries and whatnot, I don't know. But they've seen a precipitous fall off since he has not been the coach. So I definitely overlooked that aspect of it. And like I said, just at the end of the day, I didn't deserve this game from the minute it started.
Yeah, I mean, shocker, the guy that leads your defenses and basically got the job because of his success as a defensive coordinator, you lose him and your defense doesn't play as well. The Jets, what a team. All right, I'll jump into my fifth one real quick. This one's going to be short and sweet. Titans at Chargers -39.5. Another loss, lesson learned here. These teams just hate when I bet their unders. I have bet a single Chargers under, a single Titans under, and then the under in their game, and I'm 0-3, and they are the two most under team in the NFL. Under teams in the NFL, so just absolutely brutal. Again, this one is the one that I ended up subbing out for the Saints picks. I didn't want to overlap too much, and it just stings because I like this one. I was going to bet it anyway, but goodness gracious, just to not be able to hit the under in this game just sucks. Will Levis, zero turnovers. If you told me he had zero turnovers, I probably would have felt pretty good that the under was going to hit. But unfortunately, Tennessee decided to have an okay offense this game. And then the Chargers are the Chargers. Justin Herbert's playing phenomenal. That team's just rolling right now. So not too surprised to see them put up the points that they did. But I just thought this Tennessee offense was going to continue to struggle. And fortunately, Calvin Ridley able to find a couple of touchdowns with Will Levis back at quarterback.
I mean, yeah, they scored a garbage time touchdown with 54 seconds left to pull this from 27-10 to 27-17. That's kind of the worry you have with these unders in games that end up being lopsided is, Chargers defense locked in. You say this game is, 20-10 at the end there. Do they allow that touchdown? maybe not. You know, they're not playing pre-bet defense, but up 17, you know, the effort probably isn't quite as there as it would be with 54 seconds left in the game, and you can't really blame them. So that's the concern you have betting, you know, even games with these low unders with big spreads. That's the worry. But statistically, again, you deserve this. About 600 total yards between the two teams. That's pretty low for an NFL game, for those wondering. And only about, just over 300 passing yards. So a lot of running plays here. Clock was moving, no turnovers. Most of the time you're going to get this under. Like I said, it came down to Will Levis scoring a touchdown on his last drive. If you were to bet that he was going to do that or not do that at the end of the game, you would have, you know, you would have picked that he wouldn't have done it. So he just, it is what it is. He pulled through for the over bettors right at the end. My last pick, another horrible read on my part, Dolphins Rams over 48.5. I was pretty concerned about this one coming into Monday night with Tyreek Hill's injury. Sentiment was not great. Just the under had kind of come down to throughout the week, and I was getting concerned about this one lead up to kickoff, and all my concerns were alleviated. The Dolphins TD right away. They went right down the field. Four plays, I think, with 12:30 left in the first quarter, they were up 7-0. I said, okay, we're good to go. I only need 42 more points the rest of this game, one more touchdown the rest of the game between both these teams. The Rams offense basically no-showed here. Five field goals, couldn't finish in the red zone. 23-15 at the end of the day, so we weren't even really that close to 48.5. This one and the Jets, just bad reads. I wish I could come on here and say I got unlucky, but I didn't. These last two, you know, I just got to eat my humble pie. These were bad reads.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it also was rough. You had the news about Tyreek Hill, and I mean, he's just had a rough season in general, obviously, with the quarterback situation. And then even with Tua back, he's been dealing with injuries, so that's kind of hampered his production. Honestly, after they went down the field on the first drive, I felt at least solid about the Dolphins being able to put up some points. Yeah. But then they don't target Jalen Waddle basically the rest of the game. I mean, I didn't see his final stat line, but I did see a stat on Twitter that his first drive, he had about 50 receiving yards, and that was the most receiving yards he's had in a game since week one. Like, so it's just kind of strange. Obviously, I know they had the quarterback situation, so that definitely affects some of the games, but it is just crazy to me that they are – I don't know. Like, these elite wide receivers are just not producing for him. So it is what it is. But yeah, like you said, rough week 10. You know, we were coming off a couple of really good weeks in a row, just the way that gambling's going to go sometimes. But we got week 11 to talk about. Before we jump into I am going to put all of the time slots in the description. Been slacking on that this year. So if there's a specific game you want to jump to, check the description and you'll be able to see it in there. But go ahead and lead it off here.
Thursday night football. Tomorrow night, Commanders at Eagles. Eagles 3.5-point home favorites in Philadelphia, over under 48.5. We have been blessed with a couple good Thursday night football games here in a row. Cherish them, people. They are few and far between. Thursday home teams, 42-55 against the spread since 2019, including 38-49 in night games. I think that's just excluding all of the Thanksgiving Day games, or at least the two during the daytime. Surprising. I usually consider home teams, you know, the spot to play, especially on a short week on Thursday, but they have not really had success against the spread since 2019 in a pretty big sample. So something to keep in mind here. This game's definitely not making it into my five. It's a tough read for me. I would actually want to bet the Eagles here, but I'd want to wait for a three. I think if it gets down there before game time tomorrow, I'll probably bet it. But at 3.5 seems like a pretty sharp line. I don't love going against Jaden Daniels with three in the hook, but I like this Eagles team a lot, like the way they've been playing. I think they're more complete. So I don't really have a play here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I wanted to be on the Eagles for sure. Again, if it was -3, I know it's only half a point, but just give me that possibility of a push in case this Commanders team is just able to hang into another game like they have all season. So, yeah, not making it in my five as of right now. If it gets down to Eagles -3, I'll probably bet it. But it was -3 at one point, ended up getting bet up to, you know, 3.5. So probably the books trying to get some Commanders money to even it out a little bit. I know there was a lot of money and tickets coming in on this Eagles team this week. So could see it dropping back down to 3 before game time, but I think the books are going to hang that 3.5 for a little while to see if they can get some Washington money.
Yeah, 100%. It opened at three, like you said, jumped to 3.5 pretty quickly because I believe a lot of sharp bettors were following us in our initial read in the Eagles. And I hope it comes back down before game time because I would like to have a little action on this game. This is just going to be a really fun one to watch. I'll obviously, both of us will be interested in Jaden Daniels' performance, but beyond that, I would want to be on the Eagles, just not at 3.5. I could see this easily being a field goal game.
Yeah. Before we jump to the next one, I meant to mention this as well beforehand because I did a little bit of research. This episode is the most important episode of the week when we preview these lines. There have been three bets each of the last 3 weeks that we had featured that we both really liked or one of us really liked on our Thursday episode, and the line moved against us on three of our favorite bets for three straight weeks. So, again, okay, if you ride with us on or you like a certain line or one of them, take it now because we've done a really good job of being on the right side. Last week in particular, we had Indy, we had San Francisco, and Denver as well all move against us throughout the week. So, yeah, we've done a really good job. So I just wanted to reiterate that before we jump fully into it. But, yeah, sorry, just wanted to put that out there. Go ahead, Nick.
No, that's a good call. I'll try to kind of point out, you know, I try to do this as we go anyway, but sometimes there are lines I think we should be grabbing now, and sometimes there are lines I think we should be, you know, you can wait on or, you know, wait for a certain number. So I'll, again, I'll try to emphasize that a little bit more if we are correctly identifying the lines are going to move in the direction that we believe they're moving. But moving on here to the Sunday slate's first game, Packers at Bears. Packers 5.5-point road favorites in Chicago, over under 40.5. Since 2019, the Chicago Bears are 8-21-1 ATS against the NFC North. Not a great stat for the Chicago Bears. I'm sure Bears fans would be able to tell you that without even looking at it. They have really struggled against their own division. Another stat in favor of Green Bay here. Road favorites off a bye since 2004, 76-51-4 against the spread. That is a really big sample size and a pretty heavy lean to these road favorites, so definitely something to consider. With that being said, I want to be on the Bears here so bad. I just love me a ugly home dog, and this is about as ugly as it gets, Cody.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough to get there from a football perspective, but this is such a big number. I don't know what the look ahead was here, but I can't imagine. I bet it was 3.5, maybe 3. That's a lot of points that it's moved. It was at 6.5 for a little bit yesterday, so it's come back down. The sharp bettors have bet this down a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to the Bears, especially not for my 5. I think I might look to the under here, though, 40.5. Jordan Love has really struggled so far this year. He should have gotten healthy over the bye, but who knows if he's all the way back. And this Bears offense has obviously been absolutely wretched to watch the past couple weeks. So what do you think?
I don't have a strong lean yet. I want to see what Jordan Love does in practice Thursday, Friday, see if we have some positive reports. I don't know. I'm probably going to keep it out of my 5 just because I was very high on this Bears team. So I feel like I'm just kind of I mean, they've been terrible, so there's a reason to be low on them. But like you said, these home ugly dogs are just – that's where a lot of pros make a lot of money. So I want to be on the Packers. If Jordan Love was fully healthy, I probably would snag the Packers now. But you're right. Like, they're hanging this line out there for a reason. I just have to find a way to probably talk myself off the ledge of the Packers. But I think that your logic is correct. It's just – the Chicago team has looked absolutely terrible. And I don't know. I mean, the new offensive coordinator, that's going to be great. Like, I'm sure that'll probably be better than Shane Waldron. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like their head coach is as much of an issue as anything. So I just don't know if I have any faith in this Bears team until I actually see it again. So
yeah,
that's probably why I'm going to hold off on it, but probably slightly leaning towards Green Bay just because just two down on the Cardinals or the Bears.
Yeah, the offensive coordinator change makes this tough to read. I would really like this under, honestly, if it wasn't for that, because
yeah.
you don't know what you're going to, you know, maybe he could up the tempo, he could up the passing rate. There's just, you don't know what's going to happen here with the coordinator change. So that makes me a little weary of taking an under in a game where I have no idea how one side of the ball is going to try to play. I know the Packers are probably going to keep the ball on the ground here against a really good Bears pass defense, but a poor run defense on the road in, I, I haven't looked at the weather yet, but I imagine it's not fantastic conditions in Chicago this time of year. So, I that's where I'd want to go right now, but, I'm going to need to, you know, maybe do a little digging on the new guy, Thomas Brown, and see if I can, find anything that'll help us.
For sure.
Anything else on this one?
Nope.
Jags at Lions. Lions 14 point home favorites, over under of 47 here. This is a pretty awesome stat. The last time the Lions closed at 13.5 or above was in 1995 against the Jacksonville Jaguars in their inaugural season. Coming full circle here with Mac Jones at the helm. Jared Goff, 7-4 against the spread as a double-digit favorite, so do not be scared to back him in these spots. That's definitely where I'd go. It's Lions or nothing. I think that's really all there is to it. I don't think 14 is enough. I'd probably hang this line closer to 17. It's in consideration for my five. It's just going to depend on how some other numbers shake out.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you take that big number. I don't have too big of an argument either way here. I think that you're right. The Detroit Lions should absolutely blow them out. But just a big, I don't know. Honestly, if we go back, I don't know if there's ever been a time I've bet a number bigger than like 7.5 or 8. Anytime I see these double digit favorites, I immediately get a little too nervous to back them. But you're right. I mean, this Jags team is basically left for dead. You have no Trevor Lawrence. They're going into, you know, a bye week. Could definitely see the Lions absolutely rolling. Like I said last week, I thought they would kind of roll the Texans. Obviously, that did not happen, and I thought this would be the letdown spot, but I feel like their letdown spot was last week, and this is a get-right game for this team against a relatively bad defense. So I think you're on the right side of it. I don't know if I could stomach putting that big of a favorite in my five, but I believe you're on the right side.
No, it's disgusting. I hate big favorites too, but this is just kind of a special circumstance. Like I said last week, Texans obviously ended up covering, but this Detroit Lions team is not just good. They are historically great right now. And I think I would think about it kind of like this. So last week, Minnesota was a 7-point road favorite at Jacksonville. If you matched up Minnesota and Detroit on a neutral field right now, I think it would be safe to say Detroit would be at least a 3-point favorite, maybe even 3.5 with how Sam Darnold's looked recently. So there's 3.5 points right there. You kick that line up to 10.5. Now you switch venues. That's another 2.5 points. So we're already up to 13, and that's even before we get to the fact that I think perception of Mac Jones was maybe, you know, Trevor Lawrence has played pretty badly this year for what was expected of him. I think there was probably some sentiment out there that Mac Jones could come in and at least deliver, you know, something of what Lawrence was giving you, or at least 80%, but he was horrible. I can't remember the exact stat, but it was like the sixth least yards from the first quarter on in like a game since the merger that Jacksonville had. They had like 80 yards in the first quarter, 63 total yards from the second quarter on. Absolutely inept on offense, and this Detroit defense better than advertised. They're a pretty good unit, as we saw against Houston in the second half last week. So I think this line's actually probably appropriate. Usually when you have these giant lines like this, they're going to be inflated towards the favorite, but I think this is actually like the right line. This is what it should be. And then, yeah, I just trust this Detroit team to come out and take care of business. If it's above 14, I'm probably not going to get there, but if it's at 14 or it gets bet down, there's a good chance it's there for me. We'll see.
Absolutely. All right. Before we move on, we didn't bet this last Lions game, but I did have a fun stat. Jared Goff obviously threw 5 interceptions. Do you know the last time that a team had 5 interceptions and ended up winning the game?
I heard whatever podcast you listen to, I heard this too, but I forget what he said. Well, who was it?
Yeah, well, it wasn't from a podcast. That was straight from Google, but it was the Atlanta Falcons in 2012. They beat the Arizona That's Cardinals crazy. With Matt Ryan throwing 5 picks. Honestly, I thought it was going to be a better stat. When I Googled it, I thought it was going to be like 1980-something or 90-something or something like that. Yeah. But that was a crazy, crazy game by the Lions. You want to actually – quick bad beat real quick. So I – Sunday night was like – winding down, getting ready for bed, getting ready for work this week. And I went into the app at halftime when the Lions were down big, and it was going to be like $40 to win $300 on their money line. and I thought that I had placed it, and then I watched the second half and saw them win, and I checked my app, and it was sitting in the slip. I never placed it. I never hit the, like, actual place button. Absolutely brutal. I was rooting for that game like I thought that I had the the ticket to. Oh,
that's terrible.
It sucked, but all right, that's enough time on the old Detroit Lions last week.
Yeah, that was a really fun game, though. You're right. That was just really entertaining. I was very impressed with their resolve there. Next game here, Vikings at Titans. Minnesota 6-point road favorites here, over under 39.5. Sam Darnold as a favorite of more than a field goal in his career, 3-7 against the spread. Stats that probably mean nothing, but are interesting nonetheless. Will Levis, 2-13 against the second half spread in his career. 0-13 outside of Monday Night Football. So he is 2-0 against the second half spread in his two Monday Night Football games. 0-13 otherwise. Absolutely incredible stuff. Cody, I'm going to throw this one to you.
Sounds like he's the anti-Kirk Cousins.
I want to hear what you think.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just loves to perform on Monday Night Football. Absolutely.
yeah, for some reason.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't have too strong of a lean on this game. Honestly, I don't hate the Minnesota side. I do think that Will Levis is probably going to get a little overwhelmed by Brian Flores' pass rush. Honestly, I feel like the talk of his pass rush has kind of slowed down over the past couple of weeks. So I maybe need to look into some data and see if they if teams are able to scheme up against it a little bit better and it's slowing down, or if, you know, people are tired of beating the dead horse and talking about the same thing. So that'll probably be something I look into. I mean, the, you know, want to be sharp better inside me just says take the home team with the points, but I don't know if I could stomach betting Will Levis against a team that I consider to be somewhat good at less than a touchdown. So maybe a slight lean towards Minnesota, but nothing too strong at the moment.
Yeah, so what I want to do here is find a way to fade the Minnesota offense in this game. I think Sam Darnold has definitely – I don't know. I'm not going to say he's been figured out by these defensive coordinators, but you know, you see this sometimes with these journeyman guys. They get a new coordinator, they're able to scheme some things up, but then 8 to 10 games in, film is in, and they're able to take away some of the things that were working. And once you get Sam Darnold off script, it is not pretty. And we have seen this happen right at the same time that Christian Darrisaw has left the lineup. So I can't say that's a coincidence. Yeah. Like you said, if we do some research and find that this Tennessee pass rush is still effective, that is exactly what you need to do to Sam Darnold. His splits when he is pressured versus not pressured are extremely stark. That's why we were so concerned about Darrisaw being out to begin with, because it's really important to keep him clean. He holds onto the ball for a very long time, and when he is pressured, he does not do well. He throws picks. We've seen it the past couple weeks. So I think I want to fade this Minnesota offense somehow. Like you, I don't know if I can back Will Levis even at +6 at home. This Brian Flores defense is absolutely legit, and I think he's going to confuse Levis on the other side. And under 39.5 scares me a little bit because I think Levis can give points to the defense on the other side. So I don't know. I think there might be a prop out there that I attack. I'm not usually a prop guy, but I'm going to look into it. I really want to fade this Minnesota offense somehow, whether it's a team total or just straight up towards the under. I'll try to figure that out, but that's where I want to be. So we'll see by Saturday. I'll let you guys know what I'm thinking.
For sure.
Vegas at Miami. Miami Dolphins 8-point home favorites, over under of 44. Last 20 years, this one's a little wordy, but stay with me. I think it's actually a pretty interesting applicable stat here. Last 20 years, teams off a 5-game straight up losing streak coming off a bye. So that would be the Raiders in this spot. 11-17 straight up, but 19-9-1 against the spread. So very consistently keeping games closer than expected of these teams coming off these byes. Minshew, though, a counterpoint as a road dog. 6-13 against the spread, worst of all 114 quarterbacks since Minshew's first start in the NFL. So not a spot he excels in traditionally, even though we had luck placing this bet earlier in the year, Vegas at the Ravens. And we ended up winning that one outright as well. But I think that's where I want to be here. I don't love it, though. This is normally a spot last year we would have been all over this Dolphins team against a bad team at home. They usually you know, that's where they usually excel. We had a lot of luck betting them even with big spreads in these exact spots, but this just does not look like the same Dolphins team to me. Where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I can't back this Dolphins team as an 8-point favorite. I know the Raiders aren't very good, but they do have some, you know, good offensive weapons. Brock Bowers has been phenomenal. Jacoby Myers is still functional. They can move the ball. You know, we saw it in the Chiefs game that we took them. You know, we saw it back when they had Davante Adams when they beat the Ravens. Like, there is a chance that their offense can move the ball and stay in games. So I don't love Vegas plus 8. Definitely not one I'm saying to go ahead and take now, but I could not get behind this Miami team at -8 right now. Again, as we kind of talked about earlier, just their weird offensive game plan. It seems to basically just be all Devon Achane or movement motion and trying to spring somebody open. Not a lot of like downfield passing attack to their receivers that we saw the past couple of years. So,
yeah,
that's just kind of where I am. I don't feel too strongly about it. I'd be on the Vegas side if I had to take a side today. Probably staying away. The over-under of 44 may be a little bit interesting. If the Vegas offense can stay in the game, I think over 44 is an interesting play. But again, you're basically banking on Vegas being able to stay in this one.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in Vegas. Like I said, I'm not there right now. But I think between these three dogs that I've mentioned so far, Vegas, Chicago, and Tennessee, I think there's a pretty good chance one of them will end up in my five in some way or another. You know, that Tennessee game might end up being the under because what I really want to do is fade that Minnesota offense. But regardless, I think one of those three games is going to find their way in there. I just need to do a little bit more digging. I am glad it's Minshew. There was rumors this morning that they were going to switch to Ritter. God. If it was Ritter, I probably would have been on the Dolphins, to be honest.
Yeah, don't blame you.
That's how little faith I have in him as a quarterback. But Minshew can get some things done. He can keep games close. We saw it with the Chiefs. We backed them a couple weeks ago and covered that number as well. So above a touchdown, I think the Raiders is the side to be, but I'm going to have to do some more research and see if I can find some angles that I like here.
Absolutely.
Rams, 4.5-point favorites on the road in New England, over under 43.5. Sean McVay, this stat is incredible, 17-0 as a road favorite of 4 or more. That's straight up, not against the spread, but still 17-0 in that spot. Also, Sean McVay, very successful on short rest, surprisingly. 14-6 against the spread on short rest in his career. 10-1 in his last 11 games in this spot. So do not be afraid to back the Rams on short rest, especially coming off a somewhat ugly loss at home to the Dolphins. That's absolutely where I want to be here. Strong consideration for my five. I really like the Rams here. I think the Patriots are certainly overvalued in this spot. If you know, the games last week had played out how we expected them, the Patriots losing to the Bears and the Rams beating the Dolphins, I think this line would be easily 6.5, 7.
Yep.
And I think that's really where it should be. So at 4.5, you're getting a couple points of value. I think that Patriots game last week, I think that was way more about the Bears just kind of throwing up on themselves than it was the Patriots
100%
being a competent team. I think May has looked decent. I think he's fine. He could probably move the ball a little bit, but this Rams team is going to be highly motivated coming off that loss. They really, really need this game. They have a tough game against the Eagles next week. They're 4-5. They're still very much in the playoff race, but they absolutely need this win. And all those stats about McVay give me even more confidence on it. So if it's still at 4.5, it's almost a guarantee to be my bet.
Yeah, did you see what this line opened up at? Has it moved at all?
I think it was. It's been ticking between 5.5 and 4.5. So it's been... anything under 6, I'd be pretty confident in, though, because that's really, 5's not a key number at all. So I don't mind moving from 4.5 to 5.5.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, I would maybe consider go ahead and, if you want to, grab the 4.5. I think this one,
if there's a 4.5, grab it. 100%. Yes.
I love this line. I love this bet as well. Like, for basically everything that you just said, I don't want to reiterate too much, but must win game for the Rams. Still in the playoff hunt. Still technically have an outside chance at the division as well. So they have a lot to play for. You know, the Patriots coming off of last week, you know, they, like you said, the Bears just basically humiliated themselves for 3 hours. So I don't feel any different about this New England team. I don't feel like they're going to come in and have the same success against the Rams offense. So Give me the Rams -4.5. Like I said, I think you're getting a couple points of value. Same thing Nick said. And I would take the 4.5 now. This is probably one that wouldn't be surprised. Not that it's going to scare me off if it moves up to 5.5, but wouldn't be surprised if it's there on Saturday when we're talking.
The Patriots had 16 sacks in their first 9 games.
And oh, they had
9 against the Bears. Almost over 50% of their season total. Absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, this is a great buy low, sell high. We love betting teams when they're off a ATS loss and the other team's off an ATS win, especially in this situation where it's a bad team and the Rams, where, you know, they're not as good as they've been in years past, but I think they're closer to that team they were at the end of last year than this Patriots team for sure. So this is a good spot for them. Browns at Saints. Saints 1-point home favorites, over under 44.5. Carr off a straight up win as an underdog, 15-22 against the spread. Him and Kirk Cousins not good at sustaining momentum. Unfortunately, Jameis Winston absolutely horrible in this spot as well. This stat's pretty amazing. 13-24-3 against the spread when the spread is 3 or fewer either way. So basically anything, you know, within a field goal, either +3 or -3. That is the worst of all 244 quarterbacks since 2003. Incredible. Yeah, so I think this is really just pick your poison, coin flippy type game. If you want to really have some action on it, go ahead. But this, you might have to call 1-800-GAMBLER if you're betting on this game. I don't really know how you could find an angle. I think I'd want to be on the Browns just because I think the Saints might have a little bit of a letdown after you know, last week's somewhat emotional win. But at +1, I think the value's kind of gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have anything on the side. I don't mind the over 44.5, though. I think both these two quarterbacks are capable of bad turnovers. Both of them are also capable of very explosive plays in a dome. So honestly, over 44.5 is going to be in consideration for me. I do see this game.
Okay.
You know, from a spread perspective, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you at all who's going to win this game or how it's going to play out. I just see both of these offenses either putting up some points or giving the other offense an opportunity at easy, quick points. So I do like the over 44.5. Definitely not anything you have to go run into now. I do feel like that line's probably going to stay relatively still, but now it's back to New Orleans +1.
Or no, New Orleans. It's New Orleans +1 now. Yep. So Cleveland is favored by a point.
That's fair. I don't know. I don't know how Vegas could decide who's going to win this game. I mean, it is the ultimate coin flip. So I just think there's going to be some points scored. So over 44.5 is in consideration. But like I said, nothing to go run to the books about now. We'll figure it out by Saturday.
Yeah, I'll take a look into some pace metrics on this game. But over is a decent look here, I think. Brown's pass rate has been really high since Winston's taken over. And New Orleans taking some deep shots last week. I think, you know, you could see some fireworks here with two defenses that were supposed to be solid units, but really have been very disappointing. Colts at Jets. Jets 3.5-point home favorites, 4 on some books now that Richardson has been named the starter, over under 43.5. New Jets coach Jeff Ulbrich is 1-4 against the spread so far. All 8 Jets coaches since 2000. Have been below 500 against the spread in their tenure. They can just not find the right guy for the job. Cody, I'm going to throw this one to you. I want to see what you think first.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably throw this one in the trash. I have no idea. I just don't know how to read this Jets team. I mean, Vegas coming out here and hanging 3.5, 4, like after the performance they just put up.
Why are they 4-point favorites? Jesus.
Exactly. So that's why it feels so. It feels so trappy because I feel like everyone's going to be like the logical plays to play Indianapolis. I know it is Anthony Richardson, so that kind of factors in a little bit, but, you know, he could have some bad turnovers, but God, this Jets team just looks terrible. So I'm not too sure. Probably just going to stay away from this one unless I find some really good evidence to take one of the two sides. But honestly, it would be like a lesser of two evils for me. I don't like betting on this Jets team because I just can't read them, and don't like betting on Anthony Richardson because I have no idea what I'm going to get on a week-to-week basis. So just hard for me to find myself getting to a side on this game.
Yeah, it's Colts or nothing for me. If it was Flacco, I think I would have really liked it at 3.5. But the Richardson factor makes it tough. He's so volatile. really hard to know what to expect. I really wish, if I could be confident, the Colts would come in here and throw the ball 15 times and just run read option with Richardson and Jonathan Taylor all day. I think that would work really well against this Jets defense that really struggles to tackle. Their tackling is horrible, and they've been really bad against the run basically all year, even when they were playing well early on. That was kind of where you beat them, and that's really plays well into the Colts' hands personnel-wise. So if I trusted them to not let Anthony Richardson go out there and make some horrible mistakes, then I would be all over it, but I don't. So I don't know. I could easily see, taking Indy +4 and then having A. Rich basically give the game away and me being super pissed that I did that. So we'll see. Yep. There's some digging to do, but really it just comes down to me trusting Anthony Richardson, and I don't really know how I'm going to get there in between now and Saturday.
For sure.
Ravens at Steelers. Ravens 3-point road favorites in Pittsburgh. Over under 48.5. That's got to be one of the highest over unders these two teams have ever had. Last 20 years, underdog in this spot, 28-10-3 against the spread. Since 2015, 15-2-1. The underdog in this spot. Tomlin himself, 12-2-2 against the spread as a dog versus Harbaugh. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, Cody. At 3, yeah. It's Steelers or nothing, and I think Steelers is a very strong consideration for the 5. It feels like almost too obvious at this point. Like, it's like, how many times can we just go back to this well? But I don't know how you can get away with it. Like, hearing those stats, and at this being at 3, like, I expected this to be 2.5-2. I think it's Steelers or nothing for me.
Yeah, I mean, I do get why it's 3. Baltimore is – been phenomenal this year, so I get why they don't want to put Baltimore under a I know, but their offense is just so good. I can understand why Vegas is worried about hanging less than a field goal, because I don't know, it's going to be a close game, honestly. Under 48.5 and Pittsburgh are both relatively in consideration. I know, yeah. I was just talking about the Baltimore offense, but it's an AFC North matchup.
These two teams
always, I mean, historically just play extremely low scoring, hard defensive battles. I know that the Baltimore Ravens have had a really good offense. That Pittsburgh defense is going to do everything they can to slow them down. And I imagine it not being, again, a very high scoring game. So under 48.5 and Pittsburgh, like I said earlier in the podcast, when you have these chances as Mike Tomlin, as an underdog, you just kind of have to bet them religiously because they pay out in the long run.
Right.
So yeah, Pittsburgh +3, under 48.5, both definitely in consideration for my 5.
Yeah. If you can find, it was at 3.5 at a couple books. If you see 3.5s, take them now. One will not last. So that one I can certainly recommend. I think like you said, you might be able to you might be able to get 3s up until game time, so you don't have to rush to bet that one. But if you see 3.5s, I would smash it. I bet a 3 at +100. I had a book that was, it wasn't at 3.5, but they were leaning the line towards that way. So I took the Steelers there. But yeah, 3.5s, I would absolutely bet it now. Anything else here?
Nope.
Falcons at Broncos. My Denver team is 2.5-point home favorites, over under of 44. Atlanta, 9 sacks through 10 games as a team. One of only 3 teams since 2010 with less than 10 through 10 games. No team since the merger with less than 10 sacks through 10 games has ever made the playoffs. Atlanta trying to be the first. Probably will be with the state of their division right now. So, interesting that they have generated absolutely no pass rush so far this year. Kirk Cousins also off a loss, 41-26 against the spread. Cody, I'm just going to throw this one to you. I have a lean here, but it's not a side. So
yeah. Well, I think that, the Atlanta 9 sacks through 10 games definitely goes back to their 8th overall draft pick going with a backup quarterback for the season, as opposed to drafting a young defensive pass rusher that could have, made an impact right away. So definitely not surprised to see that their defensive line was questionable coming into the season and just playing out that way. Honestly, this is another game that I can't really get too much of a read on. I want to go with Atlanta. Obviously, Kirk off a loss, good against the spread. I do think it's a good bounce back spot for Atlanta. Last week, the spot Nick played was the perfect spot for them to have a letdown game. Denver coming off of a very, very close game, kind of a bad not a bad loss, but relatively devastating loss, thinking you were going to beat the undefeated divisional rival at their place and then having your field goal blocked. So could see some emotional letdown, but honestly, the thing keeping me off it is just, I think Denver has a coaching advantage with Sean Payton. I mean, he's, in my eyes, you know, he's one of the top ranked coaches in the NFL, especially, you know, being the offensive play caller as well. Him and Bo Nix are doing really well together. So, that's what's holding me off on the Atlanta side. I think Atlanta is the play, but again, you're going into the game at a coaching disadvantage, and it takes a lot to overcome that. And you give Bo Nix time and you give him opportunities to run because the defensive line can't create pressure. And that's the way that Denver's been able to win games this season. So tough for me to get to a side, but I kind of slightly lean Atlanta just backing Kirk off a loss.
Yeah, so Atlanta's defense, the way that they play, regardless of the fact that they can't generate any pressure, it actually is not incredibly conducive to what the Broncos want to do. A Steve Spagnuolo defense that is super aggressive is actually kind of plays into Sean Payton's hands. He wants to get the ball out of Bo Nix's hands as quick as possible. Yep. He wants to run the ball a lot. You know, teams that play conservative zone defense, that is actually the way you would want to attack this Denver Broncos offense. So it kind of plays into their hands from a matchup perspective. And then I like the matchup for Denver's defense as well. Kirk Cousins, an absolute statue in the pocket. Denver can generate pressure. We don't have really one standout edge rusher, but we have a lot of guys we rotate in that can get to the quarterback. And I think that matchup kind of works well for what we want to do to the Falcons. So I'd lean Falcons if I was choosing a side, but honestly, I want to be on the under 44. I think Atlanta's going to find more success on the ground at Bijan Robinson than anything else, so they should run the ball a lot here. And then for Denver, the way we play, Bo Nix doesn't throw a ton of incompletions. You know, we keep the clock moving as well. So even when we play well in offense, you know, we're not usually a team that lights up the scoreboard. So I could see this easily being a 20-17 type of game one way or the other. I don't really want to guess which way it's going to go. So under 44, definitely in consideration for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seattle at the 49ers. San Francisco, 6.5-point home favorites, over under 48.5. Real simple one for the stat of the game here. San Francisco's last six against Seattle, they are 6-0 straight up and 5-1 against the spread. Cody, that's where I want to be. 6.5 does not feel big enough. I think if San Francisco had covered like they should have against Tampa, this thing would be on the other side of 7. I'd probably be off it there. But at 6.5, I want to go right back to the well here with the 49ers. They're healthy. They're playing a lot better. The Seattle team coming off a bye concerns me a little bit, but really think about this line. It was 3.5 for the Niners in Seattle when they weren't as healthy as they are now, and they kicked the crap out of the Seahawks in that game. And now we flip this. It should be, just based on that 3.5 line, it should be 7.5 because it would be 2.5 points for the home field and then another 2.5 because you switch venues. So I think you're getting a couple points of revalue here because they didn't cover last week. And, you know, that's just because a kicker missed some field goals. That has nothing to do with anything as far as football is concerned. So under 7, I really like the Niners.
100%. You have CMC worked back into the offense as well. So that'll be a little bit more smoother this week. I expect him to have a little bit of a better game, a little bit of a bigger game, I guess I should say, getting worked back in. And yeah, those little things, you know, you know, if we don't miss three field goals, we don't have a muff punt, then yeah, I'm right back on the Niners. They are due to absolutely roll a team with how good that their team is. Like you said, just getting healthy. Again, losing Brandon Ayuk, kind of, it changes their offense a little bit, but Juwan Jennings can do 80% of what Brandon Ayuk can do, and when their run game is going, that's really all that you need. So I'm with you. San Francisco -6.5, definitely in consideration. I know a San Francisco blowout's coming in, you know, the next 2 to 3 weeks for sure, if not multiple of them. So want to keep backing this team until we hit that big winner, because I definitely thought it was coming last week. And, you know, coming off of that bad game, I imagine special teams will be a little bit more put together this week, and they're probably going to roll the Seahawks. Honestly, the Seahawks also have just been a little bit underwhelming to me this year. Like, I know that they had a good record to start. They kind of came back down to earth a little bit, but just overall, going back and watching some of their games, like, I don't think that they're that spectacular. They have typically a couple of big plays throughout the game that keep their team in it, but besides that, if you eliminate those, their offense isn't very good, and their defense hasn't been as good as I was expecting with Mike McDonald at the helm. So I 100% could see a San Francisco roll here this weekend.
Yeah, over 48.5 is interesting too. With Metcalf back, I would expect the Seattle offense to have a little bit of success, but this is one of those games where, like you said, I could see San Francisco just carrying 37 points of this total and, you know, getting us there relatively easily. But if I think that's going to be the case, I might as well just take San Francisco minus 6.5 too. So we'll see where I end up, but I wouldn't mind you. If you want to lock in 6.5, I don't blame you. I don't really see this line heading south of 6. So I think that's the farthest it would go down, and I could easily see it getting to 7, maybe even 7.5. It gets a lot of steam. So 6.5, not a terrible number to lock in right now. Game of the week here, Chiefs at Bills. Bills, 2.5-point home favorites, over under 46. Gonna keep throwing this stat out there every time we can use it. Mahomes, 12-1-1 against the spread. And 11-3 straight up as a dog in his career. I will note his one ATS loss was to Josh Allen. That was at home a couple years ago as a home underdog. But Josh Allen also 3-1 straight up versus Mahomes in the regular season. Cody, resident Chiefs fan, tell me where you are with this one.
If you want to back Mahomes as a dog, take the 2.5 as quickly as you can get it, because I imagine there's going to be a lot of big money coming in on the Chiefs within the coming days, and I see this line being bet down to probably 1.5 by kickoff. And if it gets under 2 points, I'm probably off of it. But at 2.5, I'll probably be on the KC side and just ride the Mahomes stat. But, you know, as the resident KC fan, I can tell you one thing. We love to lose to Buffalo in the regular season and give their team a lot of hope going into the playoffs. So if I get over 2, I'm okay with it, because I do think this is probably a coin flippy game. It can come down to final possession either way. But if we, you know, if we end up going down to 1.5, 1 point, basically down to a pick 'em, I'm just going to stay away from it and watch the game. I don't have that much confidence. KC's not bound to lose a game. I don't think that their team, the way that they play, is conducive to going 17-0 or any of that kind of nonsense. So there's definitely going to be a loss or two on the schedule coming up. This is a typical loss on their schedule, so don't love it if it gets down too low. But at 2.5, I feel like I have to be on the KC side.
I would be all over the Chiefs if they had not blocked that field goal and lost the game to the Broncos.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would have a ton of confidence in them in this spot, but since they won the game, God, their reaction after the game was one of the most infuriating things I've ever seen in my life. Mahomes running around the field like he won the Super Bowl again after beating a 5-4 Broncos team led by a rookie quarterback that they were 8-point favorites over at home. Like, my man, understand what just happened here. You played like crap at home. Like, I don't love that out of my quarterback. I would want him to have some, you know, self-reflection and say, damn, we got lucky. We need to be a lot better than that, because we're not going to beat good teams playing that poorly at home to a mediocre team. And I love my Broncos, but that's what they are. So,
yeah,
I want to be on the Bills here, 100%. If it comes down, I would be all over it. 1.5
sure.
would probably be in my 5. 2.5 is a big number. 2 is pretty key these days, so I don't know. I don't think it'll be there if it's a 2.5. But the other thing is, this is huge for the Chiefs. They really need this game now. I know that sounds crazy because they're 9-0, but the Bills are 8-2. So if they get this win, they will have the tiebreaker. And the Chiefs, down the stretch, they play a couple easy games right after this one, Carolina and then Vegas at home. But their last 5 games of the year are tough. They get the Chargers at home, actually healthy this time around. They almost lost to them last time when Herbert had a high ankle sprain and they were missing both of their starting tackles. This time, I think that's going to be a tough game even at home. At Cleveland, it's at Cleveland in the winter. I mean, that's not a terribly tough game, but still on the road. Then you get Houston, then at Pittsburgh, at Denver. I could easily see at least 1, maybe 2 losses in that stretch. But basically, if you want to guarantee the 1 seed, you have to win this game, because otherwise you have to win out to guarantee it. The Bills don't have a very easy schedule either, so they probably have a couple more losses coming as well. But regardless, this is a very important game for the Chiefs, because if they don't get that 1 seed, the 2 seed might be one of the worst spots to be in the AFC this year, because One, you might play Denver again at home. I don't know how you could possibly be comfortable with that after what we just watched a few days ago on Sunday. Or Cincinnati would be the other team that could steal that 7 seed. You can't be comfortable with that as a Chiefs team either. You basically lost to both those teams at home and were just saved by MacGuffins at the end of the game both times. So the Chiefs really need this one. That's kind of the other reason that I wouldn't love betting the Bills. If the Chiefs were, you know, 2-3 games ahead of them in the standings and it didn't matter as much to them, I'd be all over them. But if the Chiefs probably know they really do need this game to lock in that 1 seed, and that's a really important thing this year for them, because the 7 seed is a lot more dangerous than it normally is in the AFC. So
for sure.
Anyway, long-winded way of saying 2.5, I'm probably off of it. If it dips lower though, I might be on the Bills.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sunday night football, Bengals at Chargers. Chargers 1.5 point home favorites, over under 47. This is the highest over under of the year for the Chargers. Justin Herbert, 7-3 to the under last year in totals of 45 or higher. So even before the arrival of Jim Harbaugh, he has been an under quarterback recently. Joe Burrow, though, 19-10 against the spread as a dog in his career, 11-3 in his last 14. Another spot you usually just kind of play, and over time is a winner. Cody, where do you fall on this one?
Oh, man, this is tough for me. I don't know. I really like this Chargers team. I mean, -1.5. I feel like they just play really good fundamental football. Again, Jim Harbaugh is just one of those coaches that I think is absolutely elite. Just one of the kind of complete difference makers in the NFL. So I would probably be on the Chargers -1.5. The only thing that, you know, kind of bothers me is I know it's at home, but their home field advantage just doesn't matter. It's basically a neutral side at best for them. So like, I don't really get any juice there. The Cincinnati team, I feel like we're going to say this for at least one more week, but must win game. They have to win out or come close to winning out to have a chance at that 7 seed. So they're definitely going to be a little bit more desperate. The Chargers can't afford to drop a game. So I want to be on Chargers -1.5 because I love this game, or I love this team, but I don't know. I think since he's just a little too desperate, the hungry dog runs faster, and I can see them ended up finding a way to win this on Sunday night. So probably staying away, but I just want to reiterate, I love this Chargers team, and I think that they're a team that I'm going to try and target the rest of the year. I just don't love this spot for them.
Yeah, I basically agree with everything you said. I want to be on the Bengals, but I love this Chargers team too. I love Jim Harbaugh as a coach. He's completely changed the culture of this team already in 1 year. It's impressive to see what he's done with this group after what we saw them, you know, end the year last year and just an absolute disgrace. But regardless, I think the problem here with the Chargers is that their defense has been incredible so far this year. You can't take that away from them. Problem, they have not played any good offenses at all. The Chiefs at home in week 4 is the best offense they've really played so far, and then at Arizona in week 7, and even that Arizona team's been kind of fickle. Beyond that, here are a list of the quarterbacks that they have played: Gardner Minshew, Bryce Young, Justin Fields, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, Jameis Winston, and Will Levis. So Joe Burrow, easily the best quarterback that they've had to play so far this year. I mean, beyond Mahomes, but Burrow has much better weapons, and that offense is far, far better right now. So this is a really tough test for the Chargers defense, and I think you could argue both ways, but that's my concern with taking the Chargers. I think I'd just back Burrow as a dog if I had to go one way or the other. At 1.5, though, it's not going to be in my 5. If it gets back to 2.5, I'll consider the Bengals.
Yeah, I as I've been sitting here, I'm growing more fonder of the Bengals just for the spot play. I think this is just a must win for them.
They really need it too.
Chargers again at home, like, their home field advantage is basically like a college football neutral field. Like, you just have to hope that more people come up from San Diego than come in from Cincinnati. So, I don't know. I'm gonna throw the Cincinnati team as in consideration. Like you said, I would love to see this number come up to 2, 2.5. I don't think it will. I think the sharps would pounce on that number way too quickly if the books did it. So I imagine it'll probably stay around 1.5. Maybe even come down a little bit. But I don't know. I like Cincinnati. I've kind of, the more I think about the spot, I like where they're at. So I don't know. In consideration.
yeah, we'll see where the line goes. I don't really have a lot of confidence telling you to lock it in one way or the other. I would just hope that the Cincinnati number climbs a little bit back to 2, 2.5, and we can get that number there. Monday Night Football. God, this one is disgusting. Texans, 7.5-point road favorites at the Dallas Cowboys, over under 42 points. Houston, 1-9 to the second half spread so far this season. That is the worst mark in the NFL. Spectacular fashion last week as well against the Lions. They showed their second half struggles. Dallas Cowboys, worst points per game differential at home since the merger so far. They are negative 23.5 points per game at home. The 2008 0-16 Detroit Lions are second at negative 22. This Cowboys team is worse than the 2008 0-16 Lions at home so far. We'll see if they can bring that number down or if they end up writing their name in the record books for all the wrong reasons. I'll give the Cowboys a little, I'll give them a positive stat here, at least for the against the spread sake. Teams to lose by 28 plus, then be a dog of 4 or more the next week, last 20 years, 117-74-3 against the spread. That's 61%, and that is a huge sample size as well. So usually a spot you want to play the Cowboys, but Jesus, is it ugly. Cooper Rush looked so fucking bad last week. I can't even believe it. 43 passing yards on 22 attempts. That is impossibly bad. God bless. I think the Cowboys have to be the play at 7.5, but fuck me. I can't get there for our 5. There's no way I'm putting it in there, but I think that's the right side.
Yeah, I mean, my football brain is telling me take the Texans minus 7.5. I mean, you have a Dallas team that has nothing to play for the rest of the season. You have Nico Collins almost guaranteed to come back and play. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel better about their offense with him in there. Again, football mind is just telling me to take Houston, but the gambler in me is just like, you got to take the very ugly home underdog. But nowhere near my 5. Honestly, unless I hear something on another podcast or another better that puts me on a side, I probably won't even bet this game because I don't know which way to go. So probably just a complete avoid for me. Would have been a really fun Monday Night Football game if these teams were what they will.
I know,
you know, everyone expected them to be, but
especially kind of Houston Dallas angle would be a really good time. But
you
don't see these teams play very often either. That really sucks. These games are usually pretty entertaining. I seem to remember a game between Tony Romo and J.J. Watt when the Houston Texans were good about 8 years ago. That was really fun between these two. So they only play every 4 years, unfortunately. But I think Dallas plus 7.5 is the move. It's so goddamn ugly, though. I wouldn't even recommend locking it in right now. I think the way I might play this is just include Houston in a teaser. I don't trust them to cover a 7.5-point number. C.J. Stroud's been a pretty straightforward quarterback in his career. I believe he's 8-4 against the spread as a dog and 5-10 as a favorite. So, you know, usually you don't want to back him when he is especially laying these big numbers, but I trust them to win the game. So I think I would tease Houston down to 1.5 and, maybe get one of these other numbers in here. Maybe that San Francisco just to win at 0.5 would be another good one. So maybe I'll put together a teaser for us, including that Houston game, because I do like them to win the game, but 7.5 is a big number for Stroud. He's historically struggled to cover that number for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You can even move the Baltimore-Pittsburgh to under 54.5. Or plus that's 9, right. Either way you want to go with it. Yeah, so yeah, I think there's definitely a couple teasable lines you could throw in there with Houston. Yeah. But that's the only way that I'd have action on that game. Again, football mind is going completely one way, and better mind is going the complete opposite. So I can't come to a conclusion on this one. But anything else for week 11?
No. Do you want to throw out some of your early leans for the people before we get out of here?
Sure, absolutely. Green Bay at Chicago. A little bit interested on the Green Bay side, but I want to hear a little bit more about Jordan Love's recovery from his injury through the bye week and some practice reports. Los Angeles Rams, -3.5 or 4.5. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes, not the -4.5 at the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. That one's almost probably guaranteed to be locked in. Cleveland at New Orleans, over 44.5. That game just interests me. I did look it up. Cleveland, 5th overall in plays per game in the NFL. New Orleans down at 18. So would love to see New Orleans a little bit higher, but at least gives me a little bit of interest. Baltimore at Pittsburgh, under 48.5, and Pittsburgh plus 3. Just ride those Mike Tomlin spots. They're profitable long term.
Yeah, you gotta.
San Francisco minus 6.5 at home against Seattle, basically just playing for that San Francisco blowout. KC Buffalo, KC plus 2.5, I guess, but honestly, probably more on the outskirts of it. Just probably betting more as a fan, taking the plus 2.5 and then riding that Mahomes stat more than anything. So probably not too feeling too great. And then Cincinnati, a late ad for me at the Los Angeles Chargers, be plus 1.5 right now. Could see it moving a little bit towards Cincinnati's, but I have a good feeling about that spot. So.
Yeah, I think the other thing with you hit on a lot of the leans that I have, so I won't reiterate, but a couple points I wanted to add there. First off, Rams, if you find a 4.5, I'd go ahead and take it. If this thing goes anywhere, I'd say, you know, it could fall to 3.5 if a ton of steam comes on the Patriots, but I don't, you know, from 4.5 to 3.5 is not a huge deal. It's, you know, you're not going to get down to 3. It, trust me, it's not going to fall that far. I think there is a better chance it goes to 6. And that's a pretty important difference between what you got here, 6, 6.5, especially. So you want to lock in 4.5 if you can get it. And the Bengals game, watch for T. Higgins. If he is active in this game, I really want to be on him. I think this number could actually go towards Cincinnati even further if Higgins gets ruled in later this week. So if his practice reports look good tomorrow, you might want to lock in a 1.5 because the more I think about it, the less I think that this number is going back towards the Chargers.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I got.
Awesome. Well, we'll be back Saturday morning with our 5 picks, but like, comment, subscribe, share with everybody that you know, and we'll be back and hopefully get back on track with another winning week and keep getting ourselves more in the green. Nick, talk to you Saturday. Peace out, everybody.
Peace.